Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. Today it's Tuesday, November the 20th, and welcome to episode number 11 of The Beer Crate, a podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the drinker's diary, we have the second part on our series on hops, we look inside the Samuel Smith's brewery, quick tastings, and our try before you die section. So, let's get cracking. News. An InBev have reported a yearly increase in beer volumes of 3.6% and revenues which rose by 4.8% to 2.8 billion. While usually this is a cause for celebration, especially with beer, this increase is occurring elsewhere, as the numbers for the UK and Western Europe have actually dropped by 5.2% and 7.8% respectively. This reflects the industry as a whole due to cheaper supermarket beer and the smoking ban, but everyone is hoping for a good Christmas. A pilot scheme in Richmond is urging pubs to let the public use their toilets without buying drinks. A sign in the window indicates which pubs are partaking in the scheme, but unless this can be rolled out into all pubs, I expect some exasperation from those who have been cast out after entering non-compliant pubs. As a punter, I hope the scheme takes off, as it puts the convenience of public convenience back. But if I were living in Richmond, I'd hope for a refund on my council tax for all the public toilets I bet the council won't be buying. Drinker's Diary. And I know of just one more festival this year. Your last chance saloon is the Whitchurch Beer Festival from Wednesday the 23rd of November to Sunday the 25th. This has been held at Longmeadow Sports and Social Club. Information still on the website. The Life of Hops, Part 2. This week we look at some other varieties of hops. Challenger is a high acid hop, with the alpha acid hitting as high as 8% at times, allowing for solid bittering of the beer. Taste-wise, Challenger is able to give a full fruit palate, along with notes of pine. This is a comparatively recent hop, being introduced in 1972, but is found in a number of beers, such as Witchwood's Old Devil. Challenger also appears prominently as a dual-purpose hop. This means it is able to provide alpha acid and the aroma from a single hop. Now technically any hop can provide this, since, by definition, all hops have acid, and all the hops have aroma, but this is one that's frequently used because of the balance between the two. Other popular dual-purpose hops include Northdown, Simcoe, and, to a certain extent, Fuggles. Brewer's Gold is another hop used with a dual-purpose, but this is more known as a bitter aroma variety hop and blended with noble hops. This has a high alpha at between 7 and 11% and is very English in character, with a certain pungency that you either love or hate. Along with the Bullion hop, which comes from the same plant, this is one of the older high alpha hops. Both come with a somewhat floral aroma and citrus leanings. Atomic Reactor is one of the single variety hop beers using Brewer's Gold. Dwarf hops are created from a cross-pollination of Whitbread Golding and Dwarf Male. They have more spice than a typical Goldings and follow with a richer bitterness and high alpha acids at around 6-9%. First Gold is a good example of this, with the spiciness of orange peel and dried apricot being the main draw of this hop. This allows it to be used in the more fruity of ales, as well as the strong summer ales that can be found in Adams Broadside and Young's First Gold. Another crossbreed of hop is the Bramling Cross. This one, however, involving a Wild Manitoban male and a Golding hop, was first bred in 1927 and has a 5-8% alpha with a lot of fruit spiciness, ranging from blackcurrant to lemon, all with a sweet creaminess. While very few single variety brews exist, the Bramling Cross does find its way into a number of Christmas ales, due to the variety of spices involved. Now, once the barley, yeast and water has been added, the hop taste will have changed. But in most cases, it is possible to recognise the specific variety used, particularly in IPA, which is naturally more hoppy. If there's a particular style of hop you like, it's often a good indicator of what other beers you should try from the genus. And finally, for you trivia buffs, the hop plant is one of the closest relatives to cannabis, belonging to the Cannabinaceae family, and yes, there is a beer called Cannabis Beer. Samuel Smith's is a much-loved and almost secret British institution. It began in 1847, when a butcher and cattle dealer from Meanwood, named Samuel Smith, gave his son John money to buy the Hartley Family Brewery in Tadcaster, Yorkshire, located about 12 miles from York and Leeds. This brewery began in 1758, and is probably the oldest in Yorkshire. But the ownership story doesn't end there, since John renamed his business John Smith's Brewery, and began to work with his brother William. This partnership was passed down through the family until William bought out his relatives and moved the John Smith's Brewery to an adjacent building. At this point, he was in competition with his cousin, also called Samuel Smith, who reopened the brewery in his name. Both breweries still exist, with John Smith's producing their Yorkshire Bitter and Extra Smooth ales. Both are taken from pressurised kegs and are consequently not really real ale. Sam Smith's, however, is one company still working with very traditional parameters. They draw water from the local well, and they have shire horses to deliver the beer locally, and they only use malt, hops, yeast, and water in the majority of their brews. They also still use the Yorkshire Square method of brewing, where fermented wort is pumped over the yeast to keep them mixed. This process is rarely done these days, since it takes 6 days or more to complete. After this process, the rest of the yeast is left to ferment, which continues as it's placed into casks. Samuel Smith's also own a number of pubs, mostly in London, serving well-priced beer and cider. Like Wetherspoons, they have no music or TVs in their pubs, so the only noise is from fellow drinkers. But, unlike Wetherspoons, there is no Samuel Smith's name blazoned across the outside of most pubs. This was a move back in the year 2000 to highlight the individual character of the pub and not sell the company as a brand. This has been part of an ongoing publicity drive focused at doing no publicity or any real marketing. But despite the company doing no marketing, they're still very marketing savvy. After all, most drinkers know about Sam Smith's, Iyengar Brau, and Man in a Box. But the real reason to visit the pubs is because of the beer. It's all wonderful stuff, and the organic cider is also very worthwhile. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Quintine, La Bière de Collines. Now this is a pitch black beer with a 8.5% alcohol, with a certain line of bitterness at the backside of the mouth. Now this head is absolutely fantastic and really holds a good bitterness there. The rest of the tastes do dissipate quite quickly, which is a shame because it feels it doesn't live up to the potential. 6 out of 10. Vitterkirk Wheat Beer from Bavik. This is a wheat beer, and although I'm not generally in favour of it, this one's actually quite good. It's another beer for a hot summer's day, and it's light, but not overpowering. There is a slight cactus and or lime flavour here, so it's not necessary to have fruit put in the beer, as you often get with Hoegaarden. But this is good, but not fantastic, so 6 out of 10. Country Cool, from Grisette. This is a brewery that we've featured before on the show, particularly with Fruit de Bois. They specialise in fruit beers, and it definitely shows with this. Country Cool is a very refreshing 3.5% beer that's primarily tasting of apples. There is some bubbliness there, but it is the smoothness of the beer and the aftertaste, which is minimal but effective, that really brings this one through. Again, like a lot of the fruit beers, it is best tasted on a summer day, but this is perfect any time. 9 out of 10. Eau de Goyes from Chapeau de Troc. Another brewery we've featured before. This is a Goyes, so it's naturally very sour, and you get a straight apple fruit hit when you taste it. Now, it's a slight cloudy visual appearance with a sort of golden haze to it, which you might find off-putting, unless you're a cider drinker, in which case it looks perfect. Now, being a Goyes, it is sour, and it's not to everyone's taste. You will find that sour is often deemed as one of the higher levels of drinking, if you will. But even so, it's a good but not fantastic Goyes. So at 6%, I can give it 7 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Liberty Ale from Anchor Brewing Company in San Francisco. This is a good American IPA of 6%, and being brewed through dry hopping has a solid hop bitterness to the nose, balanced with aromatic sweetness courtesy of the malts on the tongue. The mouthfeel is rounded with caramel and malts, and the sweet citric aroma gives a minor head rush which is completely unexpected for an IPA of this type. Liberty Ale was first introduced on April the 18th, 1975, to commemorate the bicentennial of the famous ride by Paul Revere, where he warned the leaders of the opposition that the British regulars were coming. Originally a seasonal ale at Christmas, this has now made its way onto regular rotation and is available in most places in the States, as well as a few specialist bars in the UK. As a brewery, Anchor began in 1896 with the purchase of a local brewery from Gottlieb Breckel, and the new owners, Ernst Baruth and Otto Schinkel, renamed it to Anchor. Their first beer was Anchor Steam, a popular brand in America, although steam, like the name Anchor, has an uncertain origin and is lost to history. What isn't lost, however, is the continued use of traditional brewed beer at Anchor, without modern shortcuts, and their brewery looks like a museum in places. Now, one of the important factors about Liberty Ale winning this section is because it epitomizes the category. While I'm prepared to admit that this beer might not be the most perfect brew ever created, it certainly doesn't have the strength or depth of the darker Belgian ales, it is a good top-fermented beer, and is one of those you should try and suggest to try when you're told the oft-quoted joke about there being no good American beers. There are. This is one of them. And that is one of the myths that can be quashed by making Liberty Ale this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.